Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Jordan Sava. In this episode, we are joined by Binod Dhakal from the Medical College of Wisconsin to discuss the recent FDA approval of cilta-cel for patients with multiple myeloma. Would you mind introducing yourself to our audience?
Good afternoon. My name is Binod Dhakal. I'm from Medical College of Wisconsin. I'm an associate professor of medicine focusing on multiple myeloma and related plasma cell disorders.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. And to kick off the conversation, can you briefly describe what cilta-cel is and how it works in treating multiple myeloma?
Cilta-cel or cilta-captazine autoleucel is a BCMA-directed, genetically modified autologous T-cell immunotherapy, and it involves a reprogramming of patient's own T-cells, and they are encoded with a transgene that expresses the CAR, and that is directed against the BCMA, or also known as B-cell maturation antigen. So the BCMA is primarily expressed on the surface of the myeloma cells. Actually, it is expressed on the B-cells, mainly it is present in the later stages of the B-cells and the plasma cells, or the myeloma cells as well.
Perfect. And what makes cilta-cel different from other treatments currently available for patients with relapsed refractory multiple myeloma?
So, cilta-cel has it's a CAR protein that binds to two epitopes in the BCMA instead of the one single epitope. So that is supposed to design or to increase the avidity of the binding against the human BCMA. And once it binds to the cells, then of course the CAR gets proliferated and the T cells get activated, and then that helps in the elimination of the target cells. So I think that unique feature of the biepitopic binding of the BCMA probably makes it look like a very powerful product. And that's what we have been seeing in the clinical trials when this product was tested, especially in patients who heavily treated patients. You can see from the CARTITUDE-1 study, the median follow-up of 3 years, the median PFS was almost about 3 years, 34.5 months. So I think that unique mechanism might be conferring, the good clinical activity that you are seeing.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that background. And obviously, the FDA just recently approved cilta-cel. So can you discuss this particular indication and patient population the approval was set for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, cilta-cel was recently approved by FDA in patients with one prior line of therapy, especially in patients who are refractory to lenalidomide and having 1 to 3 prior lines of therapy. So this is, and it's important to know the context of the outcomes of these patients with available therapies. Now, as you know, multiple myeloma, is an incurable disease. It's mainly kind of characterized by multiple relapses. And with each relapse, what happens is that the remission periods become shorter, and then the disease become difficult to treat. That is one part. The other part is that with each treatment, the quality of life also gets affected. So health-related quality of life after each relapse would continue to decline. And more importantly, if you look at all the patients who are relapsed and refractory, their median progression-free survival and the overall survival is pretty dismal, especially the patients who have been exposed to 3 different classes of therapy. Now, lenalidomide is an important treatment in multiple myeloma, and it is kind of used very early on, as it is used in induction treatment. And it is used as maintenance, and for both transplant eligible and transplant ineligible patients, lenalidomide is a kind of important treatment of patients beyond this therapy. Now, once the patients progress after that, that first line, if you look at the real world data, the overall progression-free survival with the next line of therapy is not that very, very good. It is about 9 to 10 months at the most, based on the different therapies used. So I think what CARTITUDE-4, looking at this specifically the lenalidomide refractory patient population, is kind of fills the gap of the unmet need of new effective therapies for these patients, which can be used very early on. So I think the approval of this in that indication is really kind of an important milestone, and really kind of helps in improving the outcome to these patients.
Thank you so much for that comprehensive answer. It's definitely very exciting. But I guess, could you explain the criteria for selecting patients who would be eligible for treatment with cilta-cel?
Yeah, so, you know, I think if you look at, when you look at offering the CAR-T treatment patient, not only cilta-cel, for any CAR-T for that matter, you know, it's we have to look into a lot of aspects. I mean, right now, the cilta-cel is, you know, before we got this approval, it was approved in fifth line, and now we are approved in the second line and beyond. So I think it really is a big kind of, you know, like a big gap there, you know. But in general, if you look at the treatment with the CAR-T, it's logistically a little bit complex. It is not just something that you can think of it and give it to you tomorrow. You know, patient has to go through different steps, you know, like T cell collection, the manufacturing of the CAR-T, and then before that, get the lymphodepletion and then get the CAR-T. So the whole process is easily takes 2 to 3 months. So it's a kind of a, you know, a little bit complicated set process. So in that setting, I think once you make the decision to give the CAR-T, you have to take that into factor. You know, of the waiting and then, you know, and then going through this after some time. Now, once you get the CAR-T, you know, there are definitely some short-term and long-term, what you call as CAR-T-related toxicities that we have to monitor. So I think there is a requirement to monitor afterwards as well. It's not that when you get the CAR-T, you're done. So I think when you choose a patient, I think you have to think about that, in all these aspects, you know, for example, you know, when the patients are in late relapses, I think what happens is they don't have a lot of options. And so when you think of the CAR-T, you really are in that that is the only effective treatment that is available. Now, in the second line and beyond, I think the good thing is that they are still early on. They could still try other options. And so there is an opportunity for the patient to wait for about a couple of months easily while getting the CAR-T afterwards. So what I mean to say that the urgency to get the CAR-T is not that immediate. In majority of the patients, they can wait. So what we also saw in CARTITUDE-4 is that if you give the CAR-T related adverse events when you compare to CARTITUDE-1 was lower, like CRS, ICANS, the other delayed neurotoxicities, etc. The both rates and severity were lower. So that means if you are giving the CAR-T at an earlier line, which mainly is dictated by the disease burden in that setting, I think the CAR-T related adverse events can go down. So I think when you offer this treatment, you have to make sure how the patient's disease is, how they are relapsing, what are the patient overall condition, the performance status, and then at the same time, how much caregiver support is available for them, because it's important to have that monitoring from the caregiver as well after they receive the CAR-T. So all these things will help in deciding the right patients to get this therapy. I mean, ideally, I would like to give to all patients, but not all patients will fit the criteria. But moving this earlier than later, I think majority of the patients will be able to get this than when they are at the late stage.
Makes sense. And along the same lines, how do you see cilta-cel fitting into the current landscape for multiple myeloma?
So as I said, before this approval, cilta-cel is approved as a fifth line. Okay. Now we have the second line approval. So if you look at the treatment, types of treatment that we offer for myeloma patients, to be frank with you, after second line, there is not much of good treatment out there. So, once you have exposure to three different classes of drugs, like the proteasome inhibitor, immunomodulated drug, PI, IMiD, and CD38, and the next option is whatever available option are not that great, besides the CAR-T and the bispecific antibody. So before this approval, patients who are after second line, especially majority of the patients in the US, even before was already exposed to these three classes of drugs. And now with the newer evidence of using CD38 in the front line in both transplant eligible patient, including the transplant ineligible, I think majority of them will be exposed to three class as early as first line. So I think after that, I mean, there is not much of effective treatment beyond what I said about the CAR-T and bispecific. So I think having that approval is really going to fill the gap of that, the important treatment in that space. And I think that's definitely going to change the landscape of what we're going to offer, especially after the second line and even and maybe perhaps definitely for after the third line. And, you know, what happens is that there are a lot of patients who get initial treatment, they relapse very early on. We call this as a functional high-risk patients. And these patients, you know, regardless of what you do, there are not a lot of good therapies out there. But the emerging data, including the CARTITUDE-4, patient population, we look at the patients who are relapsing early, I mean, they derive significant benefit using the cellular cell. So I think those are the patients, you know, they really can benefit right away having the cellular cell in early line, and really kind of that will help change the landscape of their both the treatment landscape as well as the outcomes of these patients.
Definitely, it's certainly a very exciting time. Thank you for sharing that. And obviously, before the FDA approved the agent, the Oncologic Drugs Advisory Committee voted in favor of cilta-cel, indicating that the benefits outweighed the risks. Could you elaborate on some of the potential benefits and risks associated with cilta-cel?
Yeah, I mean, looking at the CARTITUDE-4 data of the patients who were included there, I mean, they clearly saw the benefit compared to standard of care. You know, and then not only that, when you look at the different subgroups, everybody benefited with the cilta-cel compared to standard of care, including high risk, triple class refractory disease, patients with plasmacytomas. They are like difficult to treat patients. So compared to the standard of care, cilta-cel really benefited these patients. And so I think, if you look at the lenalidomide refractory patient, which is a large chunk of patients after the front line or the first line, I think the study, the results from the CARTITUDE-4 really kind of showed the applicability of this treatment to large broad range of patients. Now, as we continue to follow these patients in the study, we'll really know the long-term durability and the safety and all those stuff. But at the same time, also, there are some inherent risks that we have to be vigilant about, and we have to be careful about, especially when you're offering this treatment. The specific the adverse events that happens with this treatment, the CRS, the neurotoxicities, both early and late, the low blood count, the cytopenias, and also the risk of second cancers and all those that we all are aware of. So I think definitely there is a risk which we have to be aware and we have to counsel to the patient. But given the whole totality of the data at this point of time, I think the benefits outweigh the risk. And especially for the patients who I mentioned before, I think they really have no really good option. I think the cilta-cel kind of therapy is really kind of changing the outcome of this patient. So I think, that's probably the reason that there is voted so favorably, from the ODAC. And I'm very excited to have this, to use in patients early lines and look forward to, potentially impacting their lives.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And are there any specific adverse effects that patients should be aware of when considering cilta-cel?
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned earlier, I mean, there are many, I would probably divide these adverse events into two groups. One is short-term adverse events, another is long-term adverse events. The short-term is the one that we really kind of monitor very, very closely, especially like, CRS, ICANS, HLH, hemophagocytosis, lymphohistiocytosis syndrome, the cytopenias, and potentially infections. So these are kind of probably short-term. In the long-term, your cytopenia could be a problem long-term. Delayed neurotoxicities could be a problem that we need to monitor. And also, second cancers and all those, so that we just, discussed. So I think the patients, of course, need to be aware of both this short-term and long-term. The good thing is that, we are better at managing this. We are better at identifying this. And then if you have early intervention of this adverse events, then I think the impact of this going to higher grades and severe and then impacting the lives of the patients goes down. So I think, when we treat this, when you offer this to the patient, we always discuss this two important, adverse events that could happen with that. But at the same time, reassuring the patient that, with time, we're getting better at managing these adverse events. And at the same time, once you go, with time, we probably hopefully understanding some of the mechanism of why this happens and perhaps can use some mitigation and preventive strategies for this as well.
Perfect. And what are the next steps for integrating cilta-cel into clinical practice, and what challenges might healthcare providers face in doing so?
Yeah, I mean, so first, what when we first got this approval of cilta-cel in fifth line, I think there are a lot of patients waiting for the highly effective therapies, right? So the wait list was pretty significant. And then and but there are a lot of patients couldn't get the slot, and there was a, you know, like there was a, that issue with that. Fortunately, now I think we're seeing that, you know, a lot of patients are able to get cilta-cel even late lines, and partly could be because of the approval of the bispecific. Some of the patients who can't really wait could have gone to the bispecific. You know, I think the times have changed quite a bit. But having said that, by cilta-cel itself, I think we are seeing a lot of manufacturing, a lot of slots available, and then if you want now, I think you can get, you know, tomorrow the slot. So that has become much easier. So what will happen is, you know, once it now we start using the second line, third line, you know, there are a lot of patients, even more patients, right? Because the number of patients in that is going to be much higher. So which is actually going to be challenged to meet the demands for that. But at the same time, what also is encouraging is that in that space, you have a potential, you could potentially control the disease better than when your patients are late relapse. So I think there are a lot of other options that you can hold on and then continue treating till you have a slot for the, you know, the cilta-cel is available. But I'm very you know encouraged by the number of slots that is available, and I'm very positive that, you know, the sponsors and the people involved will try to meet the demands of the need that we have in that space. I mean, just like, you know, the challenge is always that, you know, what kind of patients would be the best if you have like slots, limited slots, what kind of patients would best serve that? And then what are the, you know, how to, you know, from the community sides, like who are the patients to refer, when to refer, all those things will come in. But I think this will also will kind of get better as we start treating these patients and educating both the patients and the community doctors about the timing of the referral and what kind of patients will best fit for this treatment. So in overall, I think it's encouraging, very you know, everything is going in I think very encouraging in the direction.
Excellent. Yes, that's very exciting. Thank you for sharing that. And can you discuss any of the ongoing research or future studies that are exploring the potential of cilta-cel in other settings or in combination with other therapies?
The cilta-cel right now is being explored in the frontline setting. There are two studies ongoing right now. One is called CARTITUDE-5, which is of a study for newly diagnosed patient who didn't have intent for upfront transplant, and they're randomized to standard of care versus the cilta-cel. So that study is ongoing. And the second one is CARTITUDE-6, which is another phase three randomized study, which is comparing, you know, cilta-cel versus stem cell transplant in transplant-eligible patient. So that's two studies are ongoing, and we're very excited to see the that in newly diagnosed setting and see the impact of this in you know, right from very early on. And in besides that, there is a study called CARTITUDE-2 study ongoing, and they have different cohorts, and that cohorts is going to inform a lot in for the future studies. You know, for example, there's one cohort with early relapse, like within 12 months. I mean, so within you know, within 18 months or within 12 months of treatment, that is one cohort. There's other cohort with a suboptimal response to initial treatment. There's another cohort with you know, 1 to 3 priors, the same like CARTITUDE-4 cohort, and some additional cohorts are being studied. So I think all these things, these newer studies, is definitely gonna really kind of so evidence about what could the potential of the cilta-cel in newly diagnosed setting and these different subgroups.
That's great. It'll be super exciting to see what comes out with all of that. Thank you for sharing that. And I think that is all I have, but is there anything that you would want to kind of conclude or give any advice to other oncologists wanting to learn more about cilta-cel and its influence in this space?
Yeah, definitely. So I think, you know, the CARTITUDE-4 study, which led to the approval of cilta-cel, you know, clearly showed the benefit of this in patients 1 to 3 prior lines of therapy and who were len refractory. And the PFS benefit was pretty significant. And I'm pretty confident with the longer follow-up, we'll see even more mature data of the impact of this treatment. And in addition, you know, we also saw that, you know, if you offer this treatment early on, perhaps, you know, when patient low disease burden, you're less likely to have this severe adverse events that could be associated with the CAR-T, including sickle cell. So I think it's very important that we keep that in mind and then perhaps treat these patients who otherwise don't have a lot of great options.